Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Zayin, where we will be continuing in the discussion that we started during our last shiur, where we saw a machloikis between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman with regard to the attitude toward Tumas Meis in the context of Korbonos Tzibur. We saw that Rav Sheshes took the approach that Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur. That means that when you are confronted with a problem of Tumas Meis, where let us say the Kohen that is about to do the Korban Tzibur, a public sacrifice, he happens to be Tomei Meis, well, if you have no other choice, then he can do it. But if there is another option, so Rav Sheshes would tell you, seek the alternative option. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, took the approach Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur, which loosely translated would mean that the laws of Tumas Meis and its restrictions would be suspended with regard to the processing of a public korban. The Gemara on this Omud will be involved till Omud Beis, we might as well say, as you can see on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, you see house markings, house shapes, in two different directions. These are Makoros, these are represent sources Be'inyan Dechuya, or Hutra B'Tzibur. The direction of the house indicates what direction the Gemara will be taking. With the house point, the roof point facing upwards, that would be in favor of Rav Sheshes, that Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur, the inverted house, would be in favor of Rav Nachman's approach, that Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur. The double underline, as it appears, will represent the response of the other opinion. So now we pick up the Gemara on the second line from the top. Omar of Sheshes, Mino Aminola. From where do I know that Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur? Desanya. We have a Tanaic source. The source features the offering of the Minchas Omer. The Minchas Omer is a public sacrifice. It's a meal offering, a grain offering, that's offered on the 16th of Nisan. Oya Omeid Umakriv Minchas Omer. So a Kohen was standing and offering the Minchas Omer, and that involves taking a handful of the flour, of the, in this case the barley flour, and placing it on the Mizbeach to be burnt. V'nitmeis biyado, and as he's holding it, it becomes tomei. Im yesh shom acheres, omrim lo havi. If there is another mincha, if there's another, let's say, barley from the new crop, there's more barley flour from the new crop, so it can be brought as the minchas omer. The im ein shom elohi, if all that you have is that which became tomei, omrim lo, have a pikeach ushtok. So we say, be wise and keep quiet. What do we see? So kotoni mias, we see from here, it states here, omer lo omer umavien acheres tachtel, that if you have an option to bring a replacement tohor omer, then do that. Well, that shows you that Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibur, because as we said in our introductory remarks, Dechuya meant that if you have an alternative to do it Betara, so use the alternative. So this will prove that Rav Sheshes' approach seems to be correct. Amar Rav Nachman responds, Modino, I will concede Hechot Ika Shirayim Lachila, where there is an issue involving the eating of the sacrifice, and in this case, when you're dealing with a Mincha Sa'omer, only a handful of the flour is put on the Mizbeach, the balance of it, of the meal offering that was brought, that's called Shirayim, that which remains behind, after you remove the handful, all of that remainder is there for the Kohanim to eat. Now, a Korban that became Tomei, even according to Rav Nachman, it cannot be eaten. When we speak about Tumah Hutru B'Tzibur, we're not saying that the fact that we're Matir, the Dinim of Tumah, allows you to actually eat it. There might be an exception with the case of a Korban Pesach, but we're not talking about a Korban Pesach right now. So let's take a look at Rashi, four lines from the top. Modino hechodiko shirayim lachilo. Modino means I, Rav Nachman, will concede that where there is a remainder that is designed to be eaten, the afagav de korban tzibur korev betumah, even though I hold that a korban tzibur, a public sacrifice, is offered in a state of tumah, eino nechal betumah. It's not eaten in a state of tumah. Kedamrina beketzatzolin uvamincha, as it says, ketzatzolin is the name of a perek in Maseches Pesachim, uvamincha nikmetzes modina, and when you're dealing with a handful from a meal offering, the mahadrina lasos betara shu shirayim. Now, we seek out to do it betara so as to enable the balance, the shirayim, to be eaten. So this source involving the Minchas HaOmer and our striving to find a tohor mincha is not a kasha on Rav Nachman. We continue. Meisvei. Here, the Gemara presents another source, which will be an attack on Rav Nachman. As you can see, the house has the point facing up. A source indicating Tuma Dechuya Petzibor, the approach taken by Rav Sheshes, not that of Rav Nachman. So what does it say? Hoyamakruv Minchas Porim V'Elim Ukvosim. A Kohen was offering the meal offering, the mincha, that accompanies a cow, a ram, a sheep offerings. That should be known that there are many types of animal sacrifices accompanying which there are meal offerings that are to be brought as well. That's called minchas nesochim. So in this case, we have a mincha that accompanies these type of animal sacrifices, and the mincha v'nitmes biyado, and it became tomei omer umevian acheres tachteho. We instruct that if you find other minochos that are tohor, so bring, substitute them for this one that became tomei. V'im ein shom Elohi, if there is no alternative other than this one, omrim lo heve pikeach ushtok. We say, be wise and keep quiet. Just let it go through. My love, are we not to understand that the case here is Purim, Elim, Ukvosim, Dechag, the various animal offerings that are brought on Sukkis. Now, they are public sacrifices. And it says here that you're supposed to bring a replacement if you can. That would be indicative of Tuma Dechuya B'Tzibor, the idea that we're expecting you to bring a replacement. And even though we're dealing with the assumed public sacrifices, Omar Loch Rav Nachman Loi, Rav Nachman responds, not so. And this is we have a long marking here indicating his rejection of this kasha. He says, Purim equals Par Avodah Zarah. The Purim referred to in the source is a par that's brought because idolatry was committed. Afagav de tzibor, who even though it's a public sacrifice, came unto lo kavia le zman madrino. Since it doesn't have a fixed time, if the tzibor, if the public was guilty of idolatry, so they're obligated to bring this korma, but there's no date by which they have to bring it. There's no fixed time of year that it's brought, so it doesn't have a fixed time. As such, even Rav Nachman concedes that when I said Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, I wasn't saying so under circumstances other than fixed time public sacrifices. We'll see more about this. Elim, the Elim in the source is the Elo Shel Aaron. This is the ram brought by the Kohen Godol on Yom Kippur. The Afagav de Kvile Zman, even though it has a fixed time, namely Yom Kippur, Kevon, the Yochid, who Mehadrinan, since it's owned by a private person, in this case the Kohen Gadol, it's a personal sacrifice of the Kohen Gadol. So again, Rav Nachman will concede it doesn't fall under the category of Tumah Hutra, but Tzibur, the whole din of suspending the Tumah is only if it's you're dealing with the public. This isn't a public sacrifice. Kvosim, the Kvosim that were referred to in the source, Bekeves Habo Im Ha'Oimer, it's a reference to the sheep that's brought together with the Oimer, the Iko Shirayim L'Achila, where, as we said in the Gemara earlier, there's the Shirayim consideration, that when you have that, the Shirayim of the flower of the Omer, so the Keves is part of that, and therefore we want to have it done bitaro. The mincha of this is, in effect, the kvosim are the animals that are brought together with the mincha, and the mincha in question was the mincha sa'omer, and there's shirayim, like we said before, there's shirayim that needs to be eaten. Therefore, we seek out a mincha that's tahora so that he'll be able to eat the shirayim, and even Rav Nachman concedes to that. Mesve dam shinitmo v'zorkoi v'shogeg hurtza b'mezid lo hurtza. Blood that became tamei and was sprinkled on the mizbeach, and it says here that if it was done unwittingly, so he gets atonement. But if it's done knowingly, lo hurtza. So what do we see? Lo hurtza means that the korban is not acceptable. So this would indicate that tuma d'chuya b'tzibur. Rashi points out on the side b'mezid lo hurtza v'yafal pi shatzitz meratze, even though when it comes to Tumah of sacrifices, the golden headplate of the Kohen Gadol has the power to atone for Tumah. Nevertheless, we have here in this case where he was, it says he was Zorig Bemezid, so Kansinon Rabbonon. The Rabbonon impose a restriction, a fine, Shaloihe Boso Nechal, that the flesh or the meat of this animal should not be eaten. Aval Bailim Mihu Niskapru. However, even in the case of Bemezid, where we said lo hurtzo, it means as far as the meat, it won't be able to be eaten. It's unacceptable in that sense. But as far as the owner having fulfilled his korban requirement, he has fulfilled it, because otherwise he'll end up bringing the lonesu chulin lazora. We don't want him to bring mundane animals to the courtyard. This is a korban that, from a Torah standpoint, is fit. What we see from here, though, is that the tumah was not suspended. If it was suspended, so even bemezid, the korban would be totally acceptable. The Gemara responds, this isn't a kasha on Rav Nachman, ki tanyahi to yochid. This source was featuring a private korban, and Rav Nachman never said tumah hutra when it comes to a korban yochid. His din was that tumas meis is hutra the korban sibur. So this isn't a question. We continue. Toshma alma hatzitz maratze. For the tzitz is the golden headplate of the that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, and it itself has atonement capabilities. So what does it atone for? Maratze is a term that could mean atoning or enabling a sacrifice to be accepted. So what is the tzitz effective for? Al adam al basar v'al chilev shinitma bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezin, bein b'oines, bein b'rosoin, bein b'yochin, bein b'tzibur. The tzitz atones for the issue of tumah that affected the blood, the meat, or the chelev, which represents the entrails of the korban, whether it became that way, whether b'shogeg unwittingly, or b'mezid knowingly, b'oines under duress, or b'rotzon, but again a form of willingly. Rotzon is a word that's in contrast to the word oines. So, and bein b'yochid bein b'tzibur. Here what we've done is we've dashed underlined bein b'tzibur. So if we look, focus on our dashed underlining, we see that the tzitz is meratze on tumah, even when you're dealing with a public sacrifice. If you would take Rav Nachman's approach, that the laws of Tumah are completely suspended when it comes to public sacrifices, why do I even have to come on to the Ritzui powers of the Tzitz? There's nothing, Ritzui means to atone for, or to cover, to enable to be accepted. What do you need all of that for? If you say Tumah Hutra Betzipor, the laws of Tumah are completely suspended in the first place. Omar Loch Rav Nachman, Ki Kotoni Hatzitz Maratza, this source that says that you need the tzitz to enable the korban to be accepted, that's Adi Yochid. That's with respect to the korban Yochid, the private korban that's in this source. The boy is same off. Another approach says that the need of the tzitz is with regard to a korban sibor. That's with regard to public sacrifices that don't have a fixed time. So once again, as we said before, when you're dealing with something that doesn't have a fixed time, so even Rav Nachman concedes that the din of tumah hutra betzibor does not apply. Meisvei. Here we encounter our first inverted house marking, so that here we'll have a source that would indicate the Tumah Hutra Betzibor. The pasuk begins, the source begins with a pasuk dealing with the Ritzui powers, the atoning powers of the Tzitz. It says, V'nosa Aaron es avon ha-kodashim. And Aaron will atone for the sins of sacrifices. V'chieza avon hu-nosei. What kind of korban are we going to say will be kosher as a result of the tzitz? Im avon pigol. If you're going to suggest it's the korban that was processed with wrong intention, for example, to eat it at the wrong time, beyond its time limit, and that's how you shechted the korban with such an intent, the pasuk says such a korban is not going to be acceptable. And we're talking about v'nosa Aaron as avon hakodashim, which means that Aaron will suspend or will atone for the sin of kodashim. Well, what sin? If it's the sin of pigul, the pasuk says it's not going to be acceptable. Such a korban is not acceptable. Im avon nosar, if it's the sin of regarding meat of a korban that's left beyond its time, and then you expect that the nosa aron es avon hakodashim is going to refer to that, harei kvar nemar lo yechoshev. The Gemara cites the Brisa cites a pasuk saying that it's not to be considered. In other words, it remains nosar, and nothing alleviates that. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Ha eino nosei el avon tuma shehutra mechlolo betzibor. What we must conclude, therefore, is that the Nesias Avon referred to, the atonement referred to here, is a reference to the Avon of Tumah, that means the problem of Tumah, with regard to a Korban Yochid. So the Tzitz is effective, and you'll ask, well, why is the Tzitz effective for that particular problem, the problem of Tumah, and not other problems? The answer is, Shehutra Michlolo Betzibor. There's already precedent for the suspension of the Dinim of Tumah when it comes to the public sacrifice. So the tzitz, according to the source, is maratzit for tumah of a private sacrifice, and it's not needed at all to atone for tumah that affects a korban sibor, because when it comes to a korban sibor, the laws of tumah are completely suspended. They're hutra lo. Well, here you see very clearly tumah hutra betzibor. The kashya Rav Sheshes. This would represent a problem for Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara then says, Tanoihi, the issue is a machloikas tanoim. We will see a Tanaic source now, in which Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda argue. If you skip to the end of the Tanaic source, you can see there's a squiggle underline Rav Yehuda, where he says, Hanach l'kegar v'yom kumshet tumah hutra lo betzibor. So Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibor, that would leave us that room to infer that Rabbi Shimon will tell you otherwise. The Tumah is not Hutra, but rather it's only Dechuya. So then that would be our Machlokis. That's the Machlokis Tanayim we're looking for. So now let's go over the whole source. Sits Ben Sheshno Al Mitzchoy Ben Sheino Al Mitzchoy Meratz Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon tells us that the Tzitz is an atoning force, whether it's on the Kohen Gadol's Netzach, his forehead, which is the place it belongs, or whether it's not. That's Rabbi Shimon. So the fact that there's a Kohen Gadol around and there's a tzitz is lying in some box, nevertheless there is Nesias Ovon of Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Odeo Mitzcho Meratze, Odeo Al Mitzcho Eino Meratze. If it's Odeo means it's still on. If it's still on his forehead, so it's Meratze. If he's not wearing it, it's not Meratze. Omar Lo Rabbi Shimon, Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur B'Milchiyach. Let the case of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur prove the point. Namely, prove my Shita. She'ain Odeo Al Mitzcho U'Meratze. We know on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, part of his service is atoning for the public. When the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKodashim, he is not wearing any golden garments, including the tzitz. So you have a Kohen Gadol serving on Yom Kippur without the tzitz, and there's no tumah concern. Even though, once again, what Rav Shimon is pointing out, even though the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it, it works. Omar lo Rabbi Yehuda, Hanoch le Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippur. Leave the case of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur aside. Shetuma hutra lo b'tzibur. Since the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is involved with public sacrifices, that's why it doesn't need to be on his head. Because when you're dealing with public sacrifices, Tumah Hutra Lo B'Tzibur, all the dinim of Tumah completely suspended. Well, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Mechlal Rav Shimon Sovar, Tumah Dechuya Hi B'Tzibur. Must be Rav Shimon is of the opinion that Tumah is Dechuya, but not Hutra. So at this point then, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda would be the Tanoi that we were looking for at the beginning. As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and on the side we have a note. Miad achrei haketa habesogrim. Right after the section in the Gemara that we see in brackets, haGemara mamshicha im tumo hutro or dechuya betzibur. The Gemara will pick up this discussion: is tumo hutro or dechuya betzibur? But in the meantime, we have a bracket section. Notice the bracket length indicator. You'll see it's rather long. It takes you down quite a few lines down Ches Amud Aleph. Omar Abaye. Abaye continues regarding the topic of the tzitz. When is it effective? When it's on his head, not on his head. What happens if the tzitz is broken? So, Abaye says, "Benishbar hatzitz kuliyamu lepligi deloy meratze." We should point out that Rashi himself serves as a background or a basis for our brackets, as Rashi terms this section of Gemara as milsabapi nafshi hi lefushi pluktayo. It's an isolated section to explain the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. But as far as the general topic as Tumah Hutra or Dechuya B'Tzibur, that will be picked up with later. So Abaye says that if the tzitz benishbar hatzitz dekuyama lo pligi delo meratze, if the tzitz is broken, the Kohen Gadol can't wear it, everyone will agree then that there is no ritsui, that there's no atonement for the problem of the Tumah. Ki pligi detoli besichso. The machlokis Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda concerns a tzitz that's hanging on a sichs on a peg. Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Rabbi Yehuda said that only if he's wearing it is it meratze. The pasuk says al Metzach, it says Al Metzach Aaron Vinasa. So that would indicate that when it's on his Metzach, on his forehead, then it's effective. Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Voya Al Metzach Aaron Vinasa Aaron Esavona Kodoshi. Rabbi Shimon, we continue in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Savar. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that even if it's not on his forehead, it still is meratze. Why? The pasuk says, "Tamid l'ratzon lifnei Hashem." My tamid. What does that mean? It reads, "Tamid." It is always l'ratzon, acceptable to Hashem. What do you mean, tamid? Hilema tamid al mitzchoi. That tamid means it's always on his forehead. That's not true. Mimishkachas law. Who's, do ever find, we find that to be the case, that the tzitz is always on his head? Milo boy lemeal beis hakise, milo boy meinam. Does he not have to relieve himself in a bathroom, which is obviously not a place for the tzitz? And does he not have to go to sleep? And when he's sleeping, he's not going to be wearing the tzitz. So what does it mean when it says tamid l'ratzon? Elo tamid meratzehu. All it means is that it is always meratzeh, it always atones, or covers the problem of the tumah, even if it's not on his head. So that is a reflection or a source for Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Well, Rabbi Huda nami hoksiv tamid. What does Rabbi Huda do with that source? Rabbi Huda says that even if it's not on his head, it's meratzeh. So, what is he? How does he explain the word tamid? Let us correct ourselves. We made a mistake. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's meratz only if it is on his head. Well, what does he do with the word tamid? So, Rabbi Yehuda nami hoksiv tamid, but doesn't it say tamid, which would indicate, like Rabbi Shimon says, even if it's not on his head, it's meratz? Eh? So the more answers are who tamid min shelo yasiach daito mimenu. Tamid means when it's on his head, he shall have full concentration. He shouldn't lose his thoughts concerning the tzitz. So that as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, even though the tzitz is maratza only when it's on his head, the word tamid, which means constancy, that's a reference to your concentrating on it as all the time, the tamid, that it's on your head. And we have a bracketed section, in fact say brackets within a brackets, that deals with the issue of the Isser Hesech Hadas of losing concentration with regard to the tzitz, and you'll see also with regard to tefillin. And this internal brackets goes to the fourth line from the top of Ches Omer Aleph. So let's continue the Gemara straight, having pointed out that this is an isolated section within the source. Kida Rabo Bar Rav Huna. The idea expressed just now by Rabbi Yehuda that Tamid means you shouldn't lose concentration or lose your thoughts on the tzitz when you're wearing it. He says this is in line with Rabo Bar Rav Huna's teaching. Dama Rabo Bar Rav Huna, Chayv Olam Mamashish B'Tefilov B'Chol Shav V'Shav. A person has to maneuver his tefillin, has to handle or touch his tefillin at all times to make sure that you have them in mind and to make sure that the position is correct. Kal V'Chomer Mitzitz. This need for constant touching of the tefillin is learned from the tzitz. We continue at the top of Ches Omer Aleph. Mind you, the tzitz has only one name of Hashem on it. It says Kodesh Lashem. That's what's written, that's what's, let's say, carved down or etched out of the tzitz. Kodesh Lashem. And that means there's only Azkor. Azkor is a word meaning the Almighty's name. There's only one name on the tzitz. And yet the Torah is concerned, Al Mitzchot Tamid, from which we learn Shelo Yasiach Daita Mimenu, that you shouldn't lose your concentration and awareness of your wearing the tzitz. So what's the Torah demanding of us? Not to be Mesiach Daita from what? from even one Shem Hashem that you're wearing. So tefillin sheish bo'en askoros harbe alachas kam v'kama, the tefillin which contain four different parshas of the Torah, and within there are a number of different references to Hashem, all the more so you shall not lose concentration and not be meisiach das while wearing your tefillin. Continuing in the back and forth discussion, this give and take, Reb Shimon, the Omar Tomid Meratze, according to Reb Shimon, says that it's always Meratze, even if you're not wearing it. V'oksiv al metzach v'nosa. Does the Pasuk not say that when it's on your head, then it atones? Otherwise, it would sound that it doesn't. So Reb Shimon will tell you, Ahu l'kvoya lo'i mokom hu da'asa. All that posuk of al metzach v'nasa tells me where the tzitz is worn, namely on the forehead, on the metzach. Reb Yehuda l'kvoya lo'i mokom inole, or Reb Yehuda, who said that only when you're wearing it, it atones, and based himself on this posuk, al metzach v'nasa, so where is he going to learn the position of the tzitz? Nafgalei, he will learn it from another section of the pasuk, may al mitzcho. That's, as we said, that's another section of the pasuk. We should have made reference to the pasuk earlier, but if you go back to Zayin Amud Beis, you can see it on the side of the Gemara, Mois Chof Ches, pasuk Lamed Ches, and the pasuk reads, "V'hoy al metzach Aaron." We're reading from the margin of Zayin Amud Beis, where it says, "V'hoy al metzach Aaron." The tzitz shall be on the forehead of Aaron. V'nosa Aaron esavuna kodashim asher yakdishu bnei Yisrael lechol matnis kodshehem. V'hoy al mitzchoy tomid l'rotzin lehem lifnei Hashem. So you have in this pasuk, at the beginning of the pasuk, "V'hoy al metzach Aaron v'nosa," and later in the pasuk it says, so Rabbi Yehuda sees both points from these two phrases, as far as needing to be worn in order to be effective, and as far as the position is concerned, that it's on his forehead, that's from Me'al Mitzcho. The Gemara continues, Reb Shimon, who was of the opinion that even while you're not wearing it, it's Meratze, Nami Tepuk Le Me'al Mitzcho. Why doesn't he learn positioning of the tzitz from Al Mitzcho? So the Gemara says, In Hochinami, yeah, he will learn from Al Mitzcho. Elo Al Metzach Vinoso Mai Ovidle. So what is Rabbi Shimon now going to do with the Al Mit Metzach Vinoso Pasuk that before we thought he was using for Kviyas Mokom, but now we see he's not using it for Kviyas Mokom? Omar Loch. Roy lemetzach meratze, she'eno roy lemetzach, eno meratze. What he learns from al metzach v'nosa is that the tzitz, in order for it to be effective, you don't have to actually be wearing it, but it has to be something that you could wear. Something that you, if the tzitz is in a state of disrepair, where you could not wear it, so it's not going to be effective. So let's just go over that point. It's a rather fine point, and that is, Reb Shimon doesn't require the actual wearing of the tzitz for it to be effective in atoning for tumah. However, the potential for being able to wear it must be in place. Hence, if it is broken, as the Gemara says, la fuke nishbar hatzitz delo meratze, to the exclusion of the case of a, or the situation of a broken tzitz, then even Rav Shimon will concede it will not be effective. Ule Rabbi Yehuda nishbar hatzitz minole. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that a broken tzitz will not be effective? Nafgale mi metzach mitzchoi. What's interesting is that what one has to think about is Rabbi Yehuda, he said that it's effective only while you're wearing it. So, it's you, would you not have thought that that if you've got to be wearing it, so of course if it's broken, so it won't be effective. So it must be that there was some type of havamina here, that what would be if you're wearing a broken tzitz, and hence the Gemara has to clarify that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that you're wearing it is not enough if it happens to be broken. So Rabbi Yehuda learns the ineffectiveness of a broken tzitz from the vav in the word mitzcho, mi metzach, mitzcho. instead of the pasuk saying al metzach, it says al mitzcho. So the vov clues Rabbi Yehuda into that point, that it must be in repair as opposed to broken. Rabbi Shimon didn't learn the exclusion of a broken tzitz from the vov. Metzach mitzcho lo mashmalei. That doesn't reveal anything to Rabbi Shimon. Now, and as you can see in this section of Gemara that we just completed, we had a number of sources, and within each source we had Rabbi Yehuda's approach and Rabbi Shimon's approach to each one of those sources. So if you take advantage of our little chart on the side of the Gemara where we try to lay out in chart form the across the top of this chart, you can see the different sources. You have Al Metzach Vinosa, Tomid Lerotzon, Al Mitzcho, and the Metzach Mitzcho. And down the right hand column, you can see Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. What did each one learn from each one of these sections or each one of these quotes? Being that we are in the context of the Daf Yomi schedule, so this would be a place that we could pause. However, we must point out that we are still in the middle of the topic of Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor versus Dechuya B'Tzibor, and the next section of Gemara will attempt to say that that is a that we see another Machlokes Tanoim on that point, being that we said on Zayin Amud Beis, the second line from the top, that Tanoihi, that the issue is a Machlokes Tanoim we saw between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara here will attempt to say, well, I'm going to show you another Machlokes Tanoim that will parallel that one regarding Tuma Hutra versus Dechuya. So Mirtz Hashem, and at the beginning of our next year, we'll just have to point out that we're continuing in this discussion. So before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.